Like I said, we've got Renato Mariotti on the line to share some thoughts on just what happened today. Renato, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely, anytime.
So I guess the first question that I've got is, you know, why is it that Mueller didn't come to a conclusion on this? Why was there no decision one way or another on obstruction?
Yeah, it's a really extraordinary thing, and it's important for me to explain this to folks, because I think there's been a lot of deception around this by the Attorney General. So what happened was Mueller, as Mueller makes very clear in the report, there is a policy that prohibits the Justice Department from indicting a sitting president. Mueller knew this and took that heavily into account. What he realized was that since he couldn't charge Trump, if he came to a conclusion that Trump had obstructed justice, Trump wouldn't be able to go to court and rebut his conclusion. In other words, when one of my clients is indicted, they have constitutional rights, and Mueller walks through the rights that they have. They have a right to a speedy and public trial, and they have a right to due process and so forth. Robert Mueller, despite being criticized by Trump, attacked by Trump, even though Trump was lying about him, cared enough about fairness to Donald Trump's constitutional rights that he decided the prudent thing to do was not to reach a conclusion one way or another and put this in the hands of Congress. He went out of his way to make sure that it was clear in there that he believed the bar's views on obstruction of justice and the law were wrong, and that it was appropriate for Congress to consider these issues. What Mueller did, we may disagree with. Some of us may disagree with. But what he did was essentially he had a sense of humility and a sense of fair play as a prosecutor, and I think those are admirable traits.
So is this Exhibit A in an impeachment hearing? Because ultimately, and I've been saying this for a while, the only place you take a sitting president out in is either at the ballot box, obviously, with voters, or Congress. You know, the House of Representatives is where the courtroom is. It's the impeachment process. Whether he's convicted in the Senate is a different story. But that's where, to me, that's what this document should be, Exhibit A.
Yeah, I think there's no question that that's what Robert Mueller intended. In other words, Mueller made it very clear here that he thought that Donald Trump, he laid out a case that Donald Trump had abused his power to obstruct justice, and he thought that was something that Congress should consider. And that's why what Barr did, distorting his own, his own legal reasoning, essentially taking a non-decision by Mueller, in which Mueller acted with such humility, such a sense of fair play towards a man who had treated him so poorly, for Barr to take that and use that to take that decision for himself and to try to deceive the American people, a real injustice was done there. And that's what's important for people to understand. Robert Mueller was not trying to exonerate Trump. He was showing a sense of humility. And while we may not all agree with his decision, I don't think anyone should be criticizing prosecutors for being humble. And I think that's how we want our prosecutors to be.
A couple of months ago, I talked about Leon Jaworski, during the Watergate era, who his view was he was conducting an investigation just to collect evidence to put into the hands of Congress. From that point, when I remembered that and I read about that and I pursued that, I go, this is going to be, I think, what Mueller has ultimately done. And we'll find out if and when he testifies, if that was in case the fact.
Now, I think that's exactly right. And I'm very interested to see what Robert Mueller has to say here. Mueller viewed himself as a man whose job it was to assemble the facts. He talked about how a president could be indicted after they leave office. He talked about the importance of Congress to consider these issues. He clearly felt, he made it very clear, that he thought it was important for Congress to consider abuses of power. He thought if a president corruptly uses power to try to undermine an investigation, that was something for Congress to appropriately look at. What he did is he viewed himself as just a fact finder, an investigator. I understand some people may come to a different view, but frankly, I think he did his job here. The person who didn't do their job is Bill Barr.
Well, I think Bill Barr did his job, though, Renato. I think he did. He's Trump's new fixer.
Well, that's true, but his job, he is the Attorney General of the United States of America. He represents me and you and the Department of Justice, and as an American and an alumni of the Justice Department, I'm ashamed that that man is my Attorney General. Yeah. Absolutely ashamed.
I'm with you. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff in this that, you know, the right now, the Republican, the Fox News, the right-wing spin on this is no collusion, no obstruction, total exoneration. Now, you as a former prosecutor, do you see anything in here that totally exonerates this president?
No, I mean, not at all. So, and just to walk through it, on obstruction, what I see is a slam dunk case. I mean, frankly, if Trump could have been indicted, I think he would have been. As to what a lot of people call collusion, the public calls collusion, what Mueller said, and I think it's appropriate, is he couldn't find a criminal conspiracy with the Russian government. Now, there was a lot of technical, that's a very technical phrase. In other words, that doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't something with WikiLeaks. It, you know, in one spot, you know, for example, the fact that Donald Trump Jr. Didn't know the campaign finance laws, I think really helped him potentially facing a campaign finance violation. There's lots of reasons why, important reasons why, we have technical defenses to statutes, and we have these intent requirements built into them, and proof beyond a reasonable doubt is a high standard. But certainly it's not the sort of thing that anyone would wave and say, oh, yeah, I'm totally innocent. I think what it suggests, somebody should be very, you know, Trump should be happy he was not charged with something, but other people in his campaign were not.
Yeah, but I started today off by, you know, saying that, you know, my mother, and I'm sure your mother did as well, told you that ignorance is no excuse. When I'm reading through this Trump Tower meeting and I'm reading through some of this other stuff, it appears that ignorance is, I guess, an excuse now.
It's an excuse to very specific types of crimes, tax crimes, the campaign finance crimes in particular. And it's because those laws are particularly arcane. So we don't want it where somebody makes a technical misstatement in a tax return, and then they end up being convicted of a felony. You know, look, being convicted of a felony is serious business, and there are reasons why we have constitutional protections in this country. Robert Mueller took those seriously, and I credit the man for doing it. All of us, we want, you know, our laws to be applied faithfully. The problem here, as far as I'm concerned, goes with a corrupt Justice Department and frankly, a corrupt president who was trying, and you could see it through, he was trying to carry forth a scheme to undermine the proper administration of law. And really what Bill Barr is doing is just an extension of that.
Yeah, but, you know, I go back to what Mueller wrote about the Trump Tower meeting. That, you know, the Trump people were expecting dirt from this woman who was a Russian asset. I mean, they went into this expecting it, and the fact that they were saved by the fact that she had nothing, to me tells me that, you know, I don't think you have to know the campaign laws to know that, I don't know, you know, seeking dirt on your opponent from a Russian asset is a bad thing. And maybe it may not be illegal, but wow, is it unethical and immoral.
Well, there's no question about that. And just to be clear, there's a difference between illegal and criminal. In other words, it's possible to violate the campaign finance laws without committing a crime. Well, that's why the bar is so high here. I always thought of this issue of conspiracy with Russia. I mean, look, I've seen plenty of cases where the government's unable to prove a conspiracy between two people who appear to be involved in a bank robbery, much less the Russian government and a campaign for president.
Right.
The fact that there are so many connections here was very troubling. The fact that, you know, that people in our intelligence community were concerned that the president was compromised by the Russians. These are serious matters, regardless of the criminal underpinnings here. And what the president's tried to do regarding obstruction of justice, also very serious. There's a lot to be very concerned about here. Nobody should be looking at this and being, this is a great thing. Sure, I appreciate that. You know, I think Trump can fairly say that, look, I was not charged with a crime, and I think that is, he should be popping a champagne cork because he really escaped a bullet, he dodged a bullet here. But, you know, in no sense is this a suggestion that he did nothing wrong.
Anything surprise you in this report?
Well, there's a lot that surprised me. Probably the thing that surprised me the most is really, I think Trump's lawyers need their own lawyers. I mean, these men engaged in serious wrongdoing of their own, acted in a manner that was not consistent with how I would expect an attorney to act. Very, very disturbing stuff. I also thought, there was certainly You know, one thing that we learned that I think there hasn't been enough attention paid to is that Trump did know about the WikiLeaks releases. That's why I think there's a lot redacted there. We may find out more about the coordination with WikiLeaks. But that, you know, WikiLeaks, which Trump claims to know nothing about, appears to have been fairly central to his campaign efforts.
Except that on the campaign trail, he was running around saying that he loves WikiLeaks.
Exactly.
There was that. But, you know, the thing that you brought up the redacting. Do you think that what were your thoughts on what was redacted? I mean, do you think it was excessive? I'll tell you, I was surprised at the number of things that they redacted in the ongoing investigation stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that part. I have to say, I had very low expectations for Mr. Barr. I had concluded by, you know, long before this morning that I thought the guy was not acting in the manner that I would expect from Attorney General. So I had the lowest expectations for that guy, and I thought, you know, the number of them was not unreasonable. What is completely unreasonable, however, is his refusal to provide a full report to Congress. There's absolutely no excuse not to provide a full report to the House of Representatives. I mean, they have a constitutional duty to consider impeachment. I don't see any way in which the executive branch can investigate the head of the executive branch, the president, for criminal misconduct and not give the results to the House of Representatives. Just, I don't think under our constitutional system there's any defense. I think Nadler is going to succeed in his efforts to get all that information.
Yeah, unless you have Mueller come out and say that he was part of this and he agrees with all of it, which I there's a question that if I were you know, asking, it would be one of the top questions outside of why didn't you decide on collusion? Mm-hmm. Or do you agree with the redactions, and what would you have unredacted? I think that's an important question as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right, and I think I suspect that Robert Mueller would agree that leaders of Congress should have access to the full report and the underlying evidence. I'd be very surprised if he took a contrary view on that.
Yeah, the other thing that surprised me is the number of orders that Trump gave that evidently nobody bothered to follow through on. It kind of shows of mass dysfunction in the White House, outside of the question of obstruction and outside of the question of Russian involvement and all that. Just the fact that he's telling people to do things and they're just blatantly refusing.
Yeah, I have to say, as somebody who believes in democracy, I find all of that very disturbing and bizarre. I mean, for better or for worse, Donald Trump was elected by people. Obviously, the Russians played some role in it. We'll never know exactly how much. But look, he actually was on a ballot, and people voted for him. None of these people were voted for anything. And, you know, frankly, if he's carrying out unlawful orders or asking to carry out unlawful orders, their job should be to make that known to the public and refuse. They shouldn't just be ignoring what this guy says and do what they want to do. I mean, frankly, I think it's bizarre and undemocratic. It reminds me of that unsigned op-ed that was in the New York Times where a bunch of, you know, people within his administration were saying, you know, they're saving us from him. I mean, frankly, no one elected those people.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. You brought up the Russian involvement, and you know there's some talk that, you know, they did get into some election areas. Are we surprised by any of that?
Well, I'm not. I have to tell you, I'm very concerned. You know, I'm a resident of Illinois, as you may know, and our electoral systems were hacked by the Russians. They literally got access to partial Social Security numbers, dates of birth, addresses, all sorts of information on our voters, and they took them. The Russians did. Very concerning to people in Illinois, and yet, you know, we are getting the resources we need to do something about it. I'm very concerned because, to me, that should be a nonpartisan issue. I mean, who is for having foreign powers hack your electoral systems? But the Republicans, I guess, see some sort of advantage in leaving our systems unprotected.
Well, obviously, Trump, because he hasn't done anything, you know, and I said this right at the very beginning. I said, had Trump come out and said, look, there was Russian something. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to be open and transparent. I did nothing, but we're going to most certainly going to appoint a blue ribbon commission, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. I don't think any of this Mueller stuff, I don't think any of this happens if he does that, if he admits that, yes, Russians did something, and we're going to get to the bottom of it, and we're going to make sure that it never happens again. I don't think any of this Mueller stuff happens.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, frankly, the model we should have had was like the Warren Commission. Obviously, people could criticize it later on. But at least you had people in both parties. They got together. There was a result, and everyone knew what it was. It was publicized, and the results were out there. The 9/11 Commission. You pick your favorite commission. To me, that's the right result here. You have something that's bipartisan, nonpartisan, however you want to look at it. Here, essentially, what we had was an investigation that was ostensibly supposed to be protected from interference, and it was interfered with in the most egregious way possible by the President of the United States. I will tell you, Robert Mueller in this, to me, looks like a man who I don't know how he has the strength to, you know, show such restraint and humility and fairness towards a man who did everything possible to make his life living hell and undermine his investigation. Kudos to that man for doing that, because, frankly, a lot of people would have, hit back hard. And I think we're better off for the fact that Mueller showed restraint. I do wish, however, that we had a system that was more insulated from this presidential interference.
Well, maybe going forward we will. I mean, it's just one of those things that, and hopefully Congress takes this up. Do you, last line of questioning I've got for you, because, you know, this is a political football right now, and I fear the Democrats aren't going to have the spine to follow this through, because the longer they wait to call Mueller, the longer they wait to hit back on this no collusion, no obstruction, totally exonerated, talking point that the right's throwing out there, the more they're going to lose. Do you see this going anywhere?
Yeah, I, to be very candid with you, I don't see it going anywhere in terms of removing Trump from office. You know, you already had Steny Hoyer, who's the number two person in the House, say he didn't really see any reason to push hard on impeachment. I know Ocasio-Cortez suggested otherwise. I do think that members are going to try to have an inquiry. I do expect, Speaker Pelosi said that Mueller will be brought in to testify, and NABLA's trying to get the report. I think they're going to investigate the facts. But I don't have any illusion here that anything is going to happen to Trump politically. But honestly, for me, at this point, that's not what this is about. I mean, to me, there's bigger principles here. The President of the United States engaged in significant wrongdoing. We need to know the truth about it. We need to make sure our elected representatives know the whole truth. And frankly, we need to expose the corruption within his administration for what it is, and that includes the Attorney General.
Yeah. Do you think the media was vindicated in this? I mean, because there was a lot of talk all during this thing that, it's all fake news, and yet virtually everything I've read so far, I read in the New York Times or the Washington Post, and it was accurate.
No question. I mean, no question about that, and that's really, Trump was calling the media the enemies of the American people, because frankly, he doesn't want anyone to trust any news source other than himself. He wants his base to be inoculated from it. But there's no question, we learned a lot about this, about the facts underneath this, from the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, other sources. And I will say, regarding that, I wonder what the result would have been if we learned of all the facts in here at one time. If this report was the first anyone heard of any of this, I think, frankly, the fact that there was a trickle of information and the fact that we had a shaping of public opinion by Barr, I think played a huge role into helping Trump get himself into a position where it looks like he'll be politically safe.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Their spin machine worked wonders, and that's why they built it. Renato, I appreciate you taking time for us. Always great having you on. I look forward to talking to you again as this continues, and hopefully it does. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Make sure you check out Renato's podcast, On Topic. Fantastic. One of my favorite legal podcasts out there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.